we were talking about how holiness is not, it's not our holiness, it's not the requirement why we see God. And one reason we said that was because we said that no man can be holy within themselves. Every man is sinful, therefore no one would be able to see God if God depended on human holiness. But the second reason was that the Bible is very clear that it's Christ's holiness that is imputed to us is the reason why we see God. And I believe that's the reason why Jerry Bridges in this next chapter discusses the holiness of Christ. That is the chapter title, is the holiness of Christ. And to begin the short discussion, I'll ask a number of you to look up passages so that we can see the testimony that of Scripture that Christ was holy and that it's upon His holiness that we need to rely on. So would someone please look up 2 Corinthians 5:21, Sam? Hebrews 4:15. 1 Peter 2:22. Abigail? Isaiah 53:11. Bridget? Psalm 45:7. And if somebody would also look up John 8:46. First, the 2 Corinthians 5:21 is the verse that he brings out for this whole chapter. It's the theme verse for this chapter. So, if Sam could read that out loud.
For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
In this verse, it says that Christ is holy. He is the one who knew no sin. But yet He took upon our sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. This shows two things. First, it shows the necessity of Christ being holy. If He wasn't holy, then we would not be able to come holy in Him. But what we are looking at right now, we are looking at the Christ, the Scripture's testimony that Jesus is holy. And it said that He knew no sin. Hebrews 4:15.
We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin.
He was tempted like we are, yet he was without sin. 1 Peter 2:22.
He committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth.
Jesus didn't even talk about anything sinful. It's a challenge for us all. These are all New Testament passages of talking about Christ's holiness, but even the Old Testament talks about it. In Isaiah 53:11, talks about His holiness.
He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge that my righteous servant shall testify it, for he shall bear their.
God calls him my righteous servant. Psalm 45:7 is also an Old Testament passage. Christ loved righteousness and he hated wickedness. These scriptures are just a few of many other passages that indicate that Jesus is holy, Christ is holy. But it's not just Scripture it is Scripture that testifies to us, but even Jesus himself testifies that he is holy. And Jerry Bridges brings out John 8:46. Jesus is saying, who convicts me of sin? This is an amazing testimony of Christ's holiness as he's standing before Pharisees and Sadducees who would love to tear Jesus down. They would love to destroy his name. I mean, he's the one who makes the Sadducees and the Pharisees look bad. But Jesus said, look at my life. Can you see anything wrong in me? This is an amazing claim that Jesus has brought. The people that would find any little thing. Hey, you looked at that loaf of bread the wrong way. You want to eat it. You're coveting that loaf of bread. Any little thing, these people would want to pull out and say, yeah, see, you're sinful. But yet Jesus said, you can't find a single thing in me. So we see in a number of these passages that he was righteous and holy in his actions, as well as in his attitude and his motives. This is a great challenge for us, and it's also a great comfort for us. There are two different applications to see with Christ's holiness. First of all, we have to realize that it's in this holiness that we rely on for our salvation. Without Christ being holy, we don't have a single hope to see God. As we read in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he made himself who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." If Jesus didn't have a holiness, the best we could do is be forgiven of our sin, but yet we wouldn't be able to be counted righteous. And it was this righteousness that we need to go into to meet God. One thing I thought about in this, in my experience with the holiness of Christ, is when I went to evangelize in the middle of Pittsburgh, and I've talked to many people who said, "I once believed that. I once believed that, you know, that I was a Christian, but I couldn't live up to the standard of a Christian life. I couldn't get away from the sinful thoughts. I couldn't get away from the bad conversation. I couldn't live up to this holy standard that God has set before us." And what me and my friends who are in the group, what we try to do is try to relay that that's the point. We can't live up to God's holiness standard. It is nothing within ourselves. We, as the psalmist said, we toil within ourselves. We struggle. There's nothing in ourselves that we can do to earn this righteousness requirement, righteous requirement. So it's God's or Jesus' holiness that we must rely on. If you're struggling to be holy, I say continue in that struggle, but remember when you fail that you have to fall at God's mercy, and you have to fall at the reliance upon Jesus' holiness. But along with another application besides the reliance on Christ's holiness for our salvation is also to look at Christ's example and try to live out this holy life in our own life. That's kind of redundant, but to live his holy example out in our life. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, "Imitate me, just as I imitate Christ." Christ did come to this earth. He lived the perfect life, and he died on the cross to offer the perfect sacrifice. But he also gives us a perfect example how we can live our life, how we should act in certain situations. I saw these two applications kind of, I started struggling over these two applications when I first heard a sermon on Christ's temptation. One of our fellow seminarians was bringing this sermon before us and said that this temptation was brought before us as saying, this is how we resist temptation. You memorize scripture, you quote scripture, and this is how you beat temptation. But my seminary friend was saying, this is a good application of the scripture, but it's not the correct meaning of the scripture. The temptations were brought before us to say, Jesus lived a holy life. He was there. He was struggled in our temptations, but he was the perfect sacrifice. This is the real meaning of the temptation. So as we read Christ's life and we understand that he lived a holy life, we have to first read the example and say, yes, he lived a perfect life, and he lived it for me. And we should not exclude that at all. That should be our primary focus as we read through the Gospels. But another thing is we can look into these narratives and say, this is how Christ handled the situation, and this is how I am to act. Looking at the narratives, I often look at it and I'm like, this isn't fair. Christ is the Son of God. He knows all. He knows how to react. He knows. But yet, his reliance was on the Scripture. He grew in wisdom, and he grew in stature, in favor with God and man. And this is an example for us. So my challenge to you is, the prayer request did take a long time, so we don't have much time to go into this, but as we look at Christ and we look at his example, or look at his life, I first ask you to read the passage and to see Christ and see him as the Messiah, see him as the perfect Messiah who died for our sins. And you should, right there and then, thank God for sending his own Son and for his holy standard. But then we should read through it and say, oh, Father, now I can't live up to the standard, but Lord, please give me some directions. Give me some guidance on how I could conform my life to this image. So within this chapter, the holiness of Christ, those are the two things that I bring before you. First, rely on Christ for the holiness that we must have to be in the presence of God, but also to look for him as a perfect standard. I'm just going to close us out in prayer, and I ask you to please dwell upon these things as we do pray. Father, I do thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you that he was your incarnate word on this earth. We thank you that he did live a perfect life from a child that was born in the manger to the cross. He did not once sin, did not once think of an evil thought or say one word of hatred against his brothers falsely. Lord, he resisted the temptation of Satan. And Lord, he was presented as a holy sacrifice. And Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you for your Son. We thank you that this righteousness was applied to us. But Lord, we also thank you for Christ's example. We thank you that he showed us how to resist temptation. He was our high priest that was tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. He showed us, Lord, that it can be done. And Lord, I ask that you please encourage us with his example, that we will strive for holiness, that we will strive to live a holy life before you. And we ask in his name alone, all these things. Amen.